tell me, why do you have a warm quilted jacket on in the studio and you're wearing shorts? I don't get it. I don't get it. You've got no answer? Seriously, Derek, look at him. He's like, I got a winter jacket. And he's got shorts
it's
on.
It's not a winter jacket.
It's a quilted jacket.
It's a shirt.
That is not. No,
it's a shirt. Shirt.
It's a shirt with buttons and a zipper. There is no such thing as a shirt with the buttons and a zipper.
Old timer. Where do you see a zipper at?
Oh.
That's a t-shirt.
Okay.
Holy moly.
But it's still quilted.
You're something else. Just because
you're Baseball Central.
What? All of that, no socks with shoes.
Yeah, I was out for a run, and I got a bit late, and I'm a busy man, and jumped in the car and drove here. I go, Jesus, I don't have any socks on. Anyway, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. There's nobody here. Come in here.
Don't let it beat you.
You could come in here and, like, do a Jeffrey Toobin in here, and no one would notice there's nobody around.
Yeah, it's crickets in here.
Oh, yeah. Anyhow, World Series begins tonight. The Rays with their first of what will be four wins to take home the World Series. And it'll be Clayton Kershaw on the mound for the Dodgers, making his, 455th career postseason start?
You were close.
29.
That's a lot of starts.
177
and a third innings
and
in
no
the postseason.
Rings. And no rings.
And no rings.
He'd be ringless. And Tyler Glasnow on the mound for the Rays. Hey, you know, we talked about how good the Rays are and all this stuff and the Rays starting pitching. Justin Morneau will join us later on. I'm sure we'll talk about that as well. And you can reach out. 590-590 is the text line. And you can talk to Barker. You can talk to me if you want. But I'd much rather you talk to Barker, frankly, because he's way more interesting. And he's the brains of this operation. Where was I going? Oh, yeah. So Tyler Glasnow's got great stuff.
Yeah.
Why is he getting hit so hard?
He's not throwing strikes.
Because he's getting hit a bit.
Yeah, well, what did you tell me before we went on that he's tipping, he's
I didn't
tipping
know.
His pitches?
I pulled that out of my...
He's tipping his pitches?
I pulled that out of my tubing.
Yeah. Here's what I think. I think nowadays a guy throwing 100, it's not a big deal. I think it's where he releases the ball from. I think that's a big deal. I think arm slot's a big deal. I think it's very hard when you see one guy throwing it from one area and then the next guy comes in, he's throwing it from a different spot hard.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's an issue. But how hard it is, I don't really think that's an issue anymore. And if he falls behind and you can eliminate his break, was two-pitch guy. Yeah, occasionally throw his changeup, but you've eliminated. If he throws your changeup 91 miles an hour, he's doing you a favor. I mean, that's BP hitting, right? So for me, when he's falling behind in the count and you can eliminate the breaking ball, that's 1-0, that's 2-0, that's 3-1, that's 3-0. Those are fastball counts for him. And you can sell out to the fastball.
Yep.
Now, lefties, he's dominating left-handers in the playoffs. The lefties aren't doing anything, which is very odd. But right-handers, I think they've hit six homers off him. That's one thing you got to look you got to look to, and Mookie Betts has had some success against him.
Yes, he has,
leading off, and you know he's seen the fastball. He knows what it looks like. It's not going to surprise him. You know, arm angle, how big he is, where he releases the ball from off the mound, how long his stride is. You know how tall he is, and all these. That's not going to surprise Mookie. So you know you would assume that he will have an advantage going into to game one. You know, adrenaline's going to take over for Glasnow, so how's he going to handle that? It's going to be an interesting thing to see. And I know we always talk about him the first 25 pitches or whatever that is. Look, when you got great stuff, if you can, you don't have to, if you don't pick at the strike zone and attack it. I mean, attack it is ain't big.
Mookie Betts, of course, played against the Rays when he was with the Boston Red Sox. He is 7-for-23 with a homer against Blake Snell. He's 6-for-20 against Charlie Morton. He's 3-for-9 against Tyler.
Yeah, he's
Glasnow.
Faced Nick Anderson too. He's got a hit off him. He's
right.
Faced Diego Castillo. He's got a couple of home runs off of him.
Yes,
those are the two big guys at the end of the bullpen.
Yeah.
So you've had success against him.
Had some success. It's a small sample size, but it's small sample sizes when you're hitting a guy well are generally a good sign.
Confidence. Going into a game, you're confident.
The Rays have made a couple of changes to their roster. The Dodgers are going with the same roster as they had in the National League Championship Series. The Rays have added Brett Phillips, an outfielder, and that's probably to give them a little cover in the event Kevin Kiermaier's right-hand contusion acts
up. He's fine.
He's still on the roster, obviously.
Yeah.
But Phillips gives them a little bit of cover there. And they've also added they took Jose Alvarado off the roster for him. So,
It doesn't matter how hard you throw if you can't throw strikes.
And this is kind of interesting. They opted to replace right-hander Aaron Slagers, who's allowed one run in three appearances for left-hander Ryan Sheriff. So they're getting a little more lefty-righty balance there.
Well, that's because the Dodgers don't like the curveball.
Exactly. And the Rays are carrying 13 pitchers compared to 14. And that's because they've got two off days here. So the schedule here, there's an off day between game 2 and 3 and an off day between game 5 and 6. So it's a regular World Series schedule. Normally those would be travel days.
Yep.
So even though the teams aren't traveling, they're going to be playing at Globe Life Park, they will have the off day. Who does that favor more? The fact that there are off days baked in.
I think it's both teams.
Does it help either team? I mean, Kevin Cash's starters are already more rested to a degree.
I think it's more about their bullpen, right? You know, you don't know what you're going to get from the couple of starters they have in Glasnow and Snell. And Charlie Morton's been there and done it before when it matters. So, you know, getting him in game 3 and probably game 7, like I said, you know, I'm usually right. So it's going to probably go 7 and the Dodgers will win that. But it's
7.
I think it's more about the Rays and how much they use their bullpen. But I think the days off is not going to hurt either team. I do think that. I think the way they run the bases is a big deal. You know, I think the way that these teams throw strike one so they can use their secondary pitches better and better by a mean strike to ball. That's how these guys get people out is how hard they throw. You know, if he can't throw strike one, then you've eliminated a secondary pitch, and I can sell out to the heater, and that's when you're starting to see the home runs. You know, what the Dodgers hit 16 home runs in 7 games against the Braves.
Mm-hmm.
Braves got pretty good pitching. Right, the bullpen's been pretty good for them, and that's how, you know, if the Rays are going to have a chance, they're going to have to keep it in the yard. So they're going to have to use their secondary pitches really good and be efficient early in counts. And, you know, Kevin Cash is what's going to happen if Blake Snell doesn't go 5 innings?
Yeah.
You got to figure, they ain't going more than that. Like, yeah, it's Glasnow is going to go about 5 innings if he's okay. Snell's going to go 5 innings. Charlie Morton's the one guy you would think that's going to have a longer leash. You know, he's 4-0. What is he, 4-0 in elimination games? That'll give you a leash longer than most people. But it's, you know, Kevin, I don't think he's gonna manage any differently. I will say this. What's going to happen when it goes off the train tracks? Like, if something that they had planned, because, you know, they planned these out, that this game's already been planned out 2 days ago. What if what they planned doesn't work during the game? Do you think Kevin Cash has enough?
Nope.
Enough that he can go away from what the other plan is.
No, I think he's got. I think that's his strength. I think he's got complete and total.
Wow.
Total trust in the game plan. It's what's got him here.
But you know, analytics, as well as I do, that things tend to not work out the way you'd planned. So can he go away from that and totally do something? You know, bring in an Aaron Loop in the fourth inning.
There will always be. I talked to Charlie Montoya about this. There will always be an analytical reason for Kevin Cash doing something. It's not going to be a gut. There will be an analytical reason for him.
Because the Dodgers, it seems like
they've
taken away the platoon thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have a consistent lineup now. It is 1 through 6, and they'll work in the other 3 guys, however that is, whoever they want to match up with, and they've taken care of that. But it's that. You know, does Dave Roberts have enough leash and experience-wise that, you know, this didn't work the other 2 World Series that we played in?
Well, that was my point.
Can I go against it here?
That was my point yesterday. My point yesterday was that if this World Series is managed and goes the way people think it will, for Dave Roberts to be successful, he's going to have to be outside his comfort zone. This is all old hat to Kevin Cash. He's been doing this for 3 years. Where it gets tricky, I think, for the Rays is this may be the only team in baseball, maybe with the exception of the Yankees, the Dodgers I'm talking about, that can go lefty-righty, 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 lefty-righty with the Rays.
Yeah.
You know, they can, their lineup is such, and Dave Roberts' confidence in his position players are such that they can play the matchup game. That to me is the big separator here. I have no problem with how Dave Roberts handles his lineup. It's how he handles his bullpen this year. They both kind of handle lineups the same way.
The three-batter rule, I think, hurts the Rays more than it does the Dodgers. Because of the way the lefties are in the bullpen and that kind of thing. And the no Alvarado. The Jose Alvarado thing's a little head-scratcher for me.
Well, we had – now, if you remember, Restus Estrada was on yesterday, and he said they might stay away from him.
Jeff, you know as well as I do how many lefties that throw 99 to 101. Just the presence of that would make you think ahead of time about when you might platoon a guy, put a guy in, if you're Dave Roberts. Just knowing that Kevin Cash has got a guy like that in your bullpen.
They also added another left-handed pitcher. So that makes me think that Ryan Sheriff was added. They took the right-hander Aaron Slager's off. So that also makes me think that there may be something up with Alvarado. We don't know.
Maybe.
Right?
Yeah.
Like you would think if you're taking the lefty off, if you're going to take the lefty off for a position player and then take a righty off for another lefty, you would leave Alvarado.
Like pinch hitting the lefty for a lefty. Yeah, a ton of sense. Yeah, I'm with you. That's
so that would make me think that maybe there's something there. And he is not. He has had issues. It's pretty clear that that Kevin Cash. It's not that he's managed around him, but let's just say that he's not at the front of mind when it comes to decisions. So something like that. I understand why they put Brett Phillips on completely, because you got to give yourself a bit of cover in the case of Kiermaier.
Yeah, and I think the quirkiness of the outfield at Globe Life, you know, I think that's a little bit bigger outfield. You may need an extra guy. It makes a little sense. But the one thing I think the key of this game is, well, what if the Dodgers are winning? It's a big sample size. That's why I read off the numbers about Clayton Kershaw in the playoffs, the 29th start, the 177 and a third. It has been good. You look at those stats in the playoffs, they're not good. Like, you can spin it any way you want to spin it and say he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Yeah, he might be that way because of his numbers during the regular season, but that has nothing to do with what he does in the playoffs. Like, his playoff numbers aren't great. Game one, if they're winning, say, in the start of the sixth inning, 2-1, and he's went through the order twice, and whoever's leading off comes up to lead off the
What's
sixth
the score?
Inning, 2-1.
2-1?
Dodgers winning.
Okay.
Do you go to the bullpen or you leave him in with 75 pitches?
I absolutely go to the bullpen. I go to the bullpen.
I'm with you, but that'll be an interesting thing. Oh, game one, right? You know, these are going to be close games, you would think. With the pitching and the lineup that the Dodgers have, you'd think they're going to keep up. They're going to keep it close. These games are going to be 1-2. You know, they might be one blowout in there because somebody didn't show up, but they're probably mainly going to be close. That'll be an interesting thing to see if Dave Roberts has enough what I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big sample size.
I want to ask you about a guy. Like I did this thing for Sportsnet.ca where I picked six to watch. And I wanted to pick this dude the last series, but I didn't. So I did for this series. And we talked about it, how much of what the Rays have done focuses on Randy Arozarena, obviously.
Yep.
You know, G-Man Choi has not had a bad postseason. He was 5-for-13 against the Astros, got a home run. He had a home run and three ribbies in the ALDS against the Yankees. He hit .267. Not great, not bad. He's struck out 10 times. He's walked three, so that's
the great defender at first base.
He's a really good defender at first base. But, you know, one of the points that was made during one of the telecasts, and it was after he hit the home run. It was Josh James he hit the home run off of.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember who made the comment that the Rays don't handle elite velocity all that well. And there's a lot of strikeout in their game.
Yep.
G-Man Choi might be the one guy who looks really comfortable against Velo. Yep. What do you see in his swing? Because he has quietly had a very good postseason. Other than Arozarena, he's really the only guy who's hit. And, you know, he's going to see some, he's going to see a lot of right-handed velocity in this series late in the game.
That'd be a question. Do you think you'd start him today? I'll give you a reason why you would think about it. I know he plays mainly against right-handed pitching. Would you start him against Kershaw? Maybe drop him down the order. The only reason I say that is Austin Meadows hit 114 in the playoffs. Brandon Lau hit 115 in the playoffs. Yandy Diaz hit 125. Willie Adames, 132. Kevin Kiermaier, 194. Joey Wendell, 225. What I'm saying is they're getting nothing offensively.
Mm-hmm.
Those numbers you just read off are better than these numbers. Why wouldn't you put him in the lineup? You go with what you think could help you score runs and punch first. I'm not saying hit him cleanup against the lefty, but I'm saying maybe you hit him sixth. You're a better defensive team in the infield, you know, because of the shifts and the long throws that the shortstops have to make with the right-handed mm-hmm. hitters and these kind of things. He's great at picking the baseball. That's a huge deal.
Yeah.
But back to your question, I think Gerrit Cole gave him a ton of confidence.
Really?
I do, Jeff.
Well, how many home runs does he hit off Cole in his career?
Enough.
Yes,
yeah, enough to make you tremendously confident
right.
going forward. I do think that's a big deal. I played when I didn't have confidence, I wasn't good. And this time of the year, as hard as these guys throw, as many smart people as there are trying to figure out a way, you know, you have a little loop when you're swinging a 2-1 count. I'm mm-hmm. going to flip it to you this way, or I'm going to elevate the heater. You know, they're trying to figure out ways to invent ways to get you out. I know we haven't seen a lineup yet, have we? I don't think we have.
No,
I just looked it up before we came on a show. There's no lineup. So, but you would certainly think, just the numbers I read off, these are, you can't expect this many guys that matter in your lineup to all get hot at the same time, even one or two of them.
Kev, he's only had, now this is the regular season. He has only had 14 plate appearances against left-handed pitchers, 8 strikeouts, 1 walk. He does have a home run.
Well, yeah, I know. One of those, I think he switched it against the Blue Jays and hit right-handed.
118 is his
Again,
is his average.
These numbers are, I think you're looking at a number for a team
mm-hmm.
and thinking, do I have a guy here? Do I go outside the box a little bit? I don't know. Maybe it makes it a little easier for Kershaw, too, to work through a lefty because he's pretty good against, you know, throwing the fastball slider to lefties. And that could make it a little easier for him to get through an inning if you've got another lefty in the lineup. I think they have to – Kiermaier, Brandon Lau is probably your two lefties, right?
Yeah.
Is Austin Meadows playing? That would be a question, too. He's left-handed, right?
Yeah.
So are you going strictly right-handed lineups against Kershaw? They are. Like –
I mean, they do. You know that Kevin Cash likes to load his lineups up.
But not when they're going well.
Yeah.
But right now, half your team that matters is not. Now, I understand it's the playoffs and all the things I just mentioned. But if you got a guy with a little confidence over there,
mm-hmm.
why not try and maximize that and put him in a lineup? It's probably not going to happen because of what you just said. You know, somebody in the room's raising their hand and how dare I go against what the – Rays are saying analytically, not a chance, because they do it better than anybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're in the rooms, aren't you?
No. I wish I was.
I wish I was, too, actually, to understand why they can consistently put a guy defensively in the same spot all the time when somebody hits a ball hard. You notice that?
Well,
they do it better than anybody.
I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that not only do they shift, but I think their pitchers pitch to the shift or execute with the shift in mind. And as you said, at the end of the day, you know, you're not going to direct velo,
nope,
for the most part. So,
yep,
may have a lot to do with
just
it.
Just odd when you watch a game that they're playing on defense when somebody hits a ball hard.
Yeah.
How many Blue Jays hitters you seen? Bo Bichette, remember the couple of balls in the playoff game he hit right up the middle? And I think Adames was just lenient.
You know the other
standing
thing?
Standing right there.
The other thing that's intriguing about the Rays is watch when they are in the shift, how many times the guy who is out of position catches the ball. A lot of times.
Yeah.
The guy who is, you know,
supposed to be the shortstop and he's moved in the second base.
That's spot. That was pointed out to me. Just watch that sometime. Like watch where Willie Adames will make his plays.
I think they want Willie to catch a lot of the balls, too. He has a really good first move. He has a strong arm. He can throw flat-footed. He can throw in the hole. He can throw behind second base.
And he's not even their best shortstop. That's Wander Franco.
Well, yeah. I mean, all around, he probably is, yeah.
Yeah,
but saying, you know, defensively, Willie Adames, that's what you want, right? You want that guy that the ball's hit to most of the time is going to make the play and has the strongest arm. And
I would take him. I would take Willy Adames. I would take Willy Adames.
If you got some guys that can hide his hitting woes, yep. I'm with you.
Game one of the World Series goes tonight on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet. Justin Morneau, Minnesota Twins TV analyst, former major leaguer, will be joining Jamie Campbell and Joe Siddall on the set of Sportsnet's MLB Central. Buck Martinez will have the call of the game, the international feed, along with Matt Vasgersian. Justin Morneau will join us next. This is Baseball Central, just 6 hours away from the World Series. On Sportsnet 590, The Fan. 590 is the text line. And you can comment for Kevin Barker if you want to comment for me, about me. Not about me. It's not about me. It's about Barker.
It's about us, Jeff.
It's about us. You want to comment about
us.
Comment about my bold, ballsy.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Prediction of the Rays winning the World Series.
Yeah, it's way out there.
Months ago.
5 years ago.
In point of fact, yes. Well, at least 2 years ago. You can do that as well. Yeah. 590 is a text line. One of the real cool things about our coverage, our World Series coverage at Sportsnet, is that we get to bring in Justin Morneau and be part of our team. He is, of course, the former major leaguer. He is a Minnesota Twins TV analyst. He was a terrific first baseman, a terrific hitter. So, Justin, thank you for joining us. And you are the perfect person for me to ask my G-Man Choi question of. And I guarantee you didn't think the first question you were going to be asked about this game of the World Series was Choi. But Barker and I were talking about this a bit. Because, look, Randy Arozarena is the guy who's been hitting for the Rays. But Choi has kind of quietly had a nice postseason. He had a pretty good series against Houston as well. He does seem able to handle elite velocity, or at least he doesn't seem to be overmatched by it. We know that he's a decent fielding first baseman. What do you do with him if you're Kevin Cash? Because you're not getting anything. You know, we ran down the numbers that Adames, Yandy Diaz, Brandon Lau, and Austin Meadows are getting you. Do you maybe veer away from the script here a little bit and give G-Man Choi, maybe even give him some run tonight against Clayton Kershaw?
I mean, I think you have to. Other than Arozarena, the only guy who's given you consistent at-bats for the whole playoffs. I mean, his on-base percentage is, one of the only reasons why they actually get anybody on base. I mean, they're, as a team, they've struggled offensively. And I think the other thing that I think goes, I don't know if it's understated or whatever, however you want to put it, but when he's playing first base, he's so good defensively that what he does on both sides, and I know, the attitude is usually that you can put anybody at first and they'll do fine over there. But for me, he's one of those guys that really is a difference maker defensively. I mean, if they're going to win this series, they're going to have to play the same defense on the left side of the infield that they played, the same type of intensity and make the great plays that they made. And then you need a guy at first base who's able to pick those throws and make those plays on the bad throws. And he seems like he's able to do that. He has a good range. He also stretches well, and he does a lot of things defensively. And then on top of it, yeah, you look at it and you go, okay, do you want him to match up? Was he your best matchup with Clayton Kershaw? And the answer might not be yes, but you know what? I don't see Kershaw pitching more than five innings in this game. I think the last game Kershaw pitched will be the last time you see him extended in the playoffs. So you let him go out there an extra inning, as the Dodgers never seem to do with any of their pitchers except for Kershaw, and they ended up paying for it again. So he might get one or two at-bats, and then you're going to be faced with matchups the rest of the way anyway. So I think it makes sense to actually start him, and then he's going to give you a consistent at-bat. And if they want to win, somebody other than Arozarena is going to have to hit, and he's one of those guys that can do that because he's got power. He controls the strike zone. He makes you throw strikes. He does so many things that can impact the game offensively as well as defensively. I think he might be their second most important position player behind Arozarena.
Okay. In 2014, you faced Clayton Kershaw. I think you were 0-for-3 against him. If you were on the Rays team and say you walked up to Brandon Lau and maybe Kevin Kiermaier, we can assume that those are the two for sure lefties that are going to be in the lineup. Now, obviously, Clayton is a little different then than he is now. But all the stuff that goes on, the windup that he has, how long his arm gets with the ball, what would be the conversation that you would have with those two guys on how they should attack him tonight?
Well, I think if you got to pick one. If you're going to sit fastballs, never get off the fastball, understand he's going to elevate it. You know, you don't want to – it's so hard for any hitter, especially left-handed hitters left on left, to hit a fastball up under your hands. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to pick fastball, you got to do it. But at the same time, I think this year he only threw somewhere in the 40 to 45% range of actually throwing fastball. So his slider is a plus slider. It's a good pitch. He locates it well down and away. So I think you have to figure out which one you want to attack and just stay on that for whether it's two or three at-bats you get off of him. Understand that you're either going to get one fastball over the course of two at-bats probably to hit, and you're probably going to get one slider to hit over the course of two at-bats, and you have to be prepared to hit one of those from the first pitch of the at-bat. So, I don't know. For me, he's got that hesitation. He's got that, you know, odd delivery with his foot. If you get him from the windup, he's more difficult. If you get him from the stretch, he doesn't have as much time to, you know, with runners on base, he can't do that big leg kick and that hesitation and throw off the hitter's timing. So it's a different at-bat with guys on base than it is with nobody on base. So for me, I think the best approach to him is just to look for a fastball to drive. You know, you saw Hosmer take him deep on that fastball. It was middle in the previous series. I think that's the best approach because he's got so much confidence in that slider. It's a plus pitch. He can locate it down and away. Even if you hit it, there's not really much you can do with it. So if that's me, I'm staying on the fastball. I'm aggressive every single pitch to the fastball and then try and adjust to the slider as best you can because, I don't know, he's one of those guys that it's just not a comfortable at-bat. Even if his velocity isn't 95 like it used to be, he's still got that funkiness to him and that difficulty of picking up the ball and then the confidence of who he is and then what he can do every time he steps on the mound makes him difficult.
Okay, just by listening to you talk about the secondary pitches, the big overhand curveball, which what I would never try and hit. It's very odd that you see a lefty with a big 12-6 yacker like that. I've eliminated that before I ever walked to the plate. But it does sound like, because of how much he throws the slider, that you may have to try and hit it. Do you think an established hitter this time of the year can move around in the batter's box? Closer to the plate, any of those two things?
If you haven't done it, then it's difficult to do. You know, you to adjust in a way that you've never actually tried in a game before, does it seem like the best idea? I don't know. For me, personally, as a hitter, if we were facing, you know, obviously, you know, 10 years ago, there was a lot more guys throwing sinkers than there was throwing elevated four-seam fastballs. But if I was facing a guy that had a plus sinker as a right-handed pitcher for me being a left-handed hitter, I would take a half a step up in the box and try and get that ball before it really dives below the zone. It might clip the front corner. It might be a strike, but you're not going to do much with it. So I would move up in the box and try and make an adjustment because, you know, that pitcher's, you know, his best pitch, whatever it is, you try and find a way to counter that. Now, if you're asking a guy to move closer to the plate to take away that slider and he's never done it, he's going to be somewhat uncomfortable and he's probably going to be inside conscious. And, you know, as a hitter, you never want to get jammed. So if you're worried about him running that fastball under your hands, then you might end up flying open early with your front side. And then all of a sudden you're vulnerable to the same slider anyway. So it might not give you any type of an advantage because you're in the back of your mind, you're afraid of getting jammed. And then all of a sudden you fly off and the same slider is still going to look away to you and you're still not going to have a lot of success trying to hit it, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
it does. We're joined on Baseball Central by Justin Morneau. I got this theory, and I don't know if Barker buys it, but you know, I started thinking about it when I saw Charlie Morton hitting 97 and 98, and I was trying to figure out where the 3 extra miles per hour were coming from, and look, it seems like everybody who comes out of the bullpen now throws 100, and I know that's the way the game is going, but do you think that maybe, Justin, the fact that, you know, it is October 20th, but in real baseball terms, these guys are only in they're playing their 75th game of the year. Does that maybe explain why we're still seeing so much velocity at this point in the postseason, that guys' arms are essentially where they'd be in July or August right now?
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I think they're probably peaking around the time. You know, you always hear about the dog days of August. Well, nobody's really dealing with the dog days because they're not, you know, ground through 120 games in 135 days or whatever it is. They're kind of at that point, right when you hit the All-Star break, for me, always felt like you really got your legs underneath you. Your timing should be there if you're an everyday guy. There should be a lot of things that are kind of starting to roll, and the pitchers are healthy. They've had the starters, I think, is the difference. The bullpen, the usage, and playing seven straight days and doing all that kind of stuff, which is going to be different in the World Series, I know, with 2 days off. But I think for me, the starters and their ability to, you know, find that extra gear because they're not worn down of 160 or 200 innings at this point. They're kind of peaking and they're at that point where they're really strong and everything's going well. And I think that is what we're seeing a lot with a lot of these guys in the velocity.
How do you think Clayton attacks Randy Arozarena? First at bat.
I think he goes slider below the zone. He might run that fastball up under his hands to make him uncomfortable, but if there's nobody on base, I can't see the Dodgers trying to throw him many strikes. He's really the only guy and maybe the main reason why they scored any runs in that last series. So if you look at their lineup and you try and navigate their lineup, and the Dodgers, to me, do this as well as anybody in baseball. They game plan and then they execute the game plan. They look at it and they go, okay, this is how we're going to get this guy out until he proves that he can adapt and adjust to what we're trying to do to him. We're going to continue to execute this and then force them to make an adjustment. And I think for me, the thing with him is show that he's going to, you know, in the World Series, in this big series, stay within the strike zone and not try and do too much after all the attention is going to be on him for, you know, being the league championship series MVP, all eyes are on him. And I think his expectations as well for himself are going to be to go out and repeat and do the same thing. I think the Dodgers philosophy, if I was them, would be to not give him that opportunity. Don't give him a chance to continue to be locked in. I think the best way to cool down a hot hitter is to never throw them a strike and see if they'll expand the zone. And once they start to do that, then a hitter will chase and expand and then alter their swing and start to do things that they weren't doing previously when they were hot. So for me, it's Kershaw trying to get him to expand the zone, make him uncomfortable up and in where he's shown that he'll chase in the past. And then if he's going to take his walks, then force the other guys in the lineup to beat you. And I think that has to be what I think the main Dodgers main way of approaching him is going to be because of the struggles of their entire team offensively throughout the playoffs. Mm.
Justin, good stuff, man. Terrific insight. Yeah. Glad to have you aboard. Look forward to your work. Thanks as always, my
Hopefully
friend.
Hopefully we'll see you soon.
Yes, sir.
I hope so. I miss being there with you guys.
Yeah. Say hi to the family for me.
Will do.
All right. Take care, Justin. Justin Morneau, Sportsnet World Series analyst, Minnesota Twins TV analyst. He'll be joining Jamie and Joe on MLB Central.
See, what he says about Randy makes sense. But the issue I have with that is first inning, he walks up and Clayton is picking. And say he walks him. And then the next guy comes up and hits a homer. It's 2-0. Clayton, we know the issues he's had in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's the thing. That's the rocky road. Do you really want a guy to nibble? To like, it's very hard to walk up to a guy and know that this is the guy we're not going to allow to beat us. And then you want an established big leaguer to go out and nibble. Pick at him.
Look, I
don't know.
I've always had an issue with the idea of pitching around a guy. Like, that's why you got four fingers.
Yeah.
Now, you're not going to do it right away.
Sure.
But, I mean, look, nothing else has worked against Randy or Rosarena, and maybe that's what you do. I do get the concept, though, that I'm not saying you don't give him anything to hit, but I'd rely on a lot of my secondary stuff against him. And then if I lose him, I lose him.
See, I would not. I think if you make it, he's just like every other.
You just locate fastballs.
If you locate a pitch, you're going to get him out. But you notice the pitches that he hits out. They're somewhere on a lot of the plate. Those hanging breaking balls, or those center cut heaters that he stays inside of, that he hits a home run to right.
That's the one thing that would scare me with Clayton Kershaw. Because when Clayton Kershaw hangs pitches, they hang for a long time.
Yeah, I guess. But it's more of that, I think, if he uses the four-seamer in, he maybe goes with the slider in, he can elevate the four-seamer in. You know, I think you got to attack him. I think you're the Dodgers. I think you be careful with him, especially if there's guys on base with two outs. Of course you can be careful with him. But I think when you get to, you know, collective pitching staff of saying, how dare we go after this guy? I don't think that's going to work, and then I think that's when you start hanging stuff.
590-590 is a text line. Please include your name, just your first name, your location as well. You look at G-Man Choi, and Justin was talking about G-Man Choi, how good he is around first base.
Yeah.
He's still a pretty big guy, right? Like, you wouldn't say he's
260.
A listener wants to know, can you explain the difference in body types? You know where this is going.
Oh, yeah.
Between G-Man Choi and Vladdy at first base. You know what? It's an interesting question. Let's deal with it on the other side of the break. It's Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. All right, no name, no location. Oh, there we go. I take it back. Jeremy Kottringer from Newfoundland. Or NF, Niagara Falls. What's the number? It's Niagara Falls. Looking at the 905 area code. So, Jimmy, got your question. Because I think it's, I thought it was interesting. Because we talked about G-Man Choi, big first baseman.
Yeah.
He's not a world champion bodybuilder by any stretch of the imagination. And as Jimmy says, all right, all I keep hearing about Vladdy is he's got a weight issue and, you know, will he be able to handle it around first base? So, you played first base, and you are. What were you? Sorry, what were you when you played?
205.
And you're 6'4"?
205. No, 6'2".
Okay, so 6'2", 205. Yeah. And you were cut. You were chiseled. You were chiseled out of granite.
Yeah.
You were
they
Canadian
had to make
shield.
Me wear a
oh
jersey.
Yeah. Exactly. Which is how you first got Hazel when she saw you flexing.
No, I was hitting them in the fifth deck.
Anyhow, enough of that. We don't talk about that stuff. So, but the question is, seriously, all right, what makes G-Man Choi's body okay for first base? What makes Vladdy's body
suspect? First of
all,
this show has never said that Vladdy can't play first.
We have not.
Never. Because I played first. I know what it takes to play first. Vladdy's a good enough first baseman. He hits 30. He'll be a real good first baseman.
We've talked about weight as an issue with hitting.
Nobody will care if he misses a foul pop-up. If he's dropping 30 homers, nobody will care. So I don't really understand the question. You're not trying to reinvent the wheel at first base.
Why is G-Man Choi's let's say at the plate, why is G-Man Choi's size not an impediment at the plate and Vladdy's is?
I've never said that on this show, that his weight has anything to do with why he's struggling.
You said he had a little difficulty getting around in pitches. You thought that maybe he was a little hefty.
Nobody on this show has ever said that. No, that's him that came out and had an interview that said he was a little overweight. I never said that. I said he needs better conditioning.
Okay.
He said that.
Fair enough.
Running the bases, maybe side to side, maybe coming in on a baseball and a ground ball.
I thought it was a good question.
Hitting, I've never said that.
Okay.
I will say this. It will be interesting because you've seen the videos of him working out now with his shirt off.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like he's dropped some of them LBs.
Yeah, he
does. We're going to find out if it matters. I'm not a nutritionist. I have no idea. Like, I know when I gained a little bit of weight, I got older.
He looks
That's why I was having trouble turning on fastballs. Yeah. Had nothing to do with because I had a boiler. Yeah. That had nothing to do with it. It's just because I was getting older. And it didn't work A to B as well as it used to work. That's
a lot of that happens
reason.
When you get older.
That's exactly right. The foot Choi around the bag has better feet than Vladdy does. For me, that's experience. Vladdy at first base, because he doesn't know how to play, it gets very stationary. I'll run over to the bag. I put my foot on the bag. I stretch to where the ball's at. Instead of being more fluid with your feet, I go over. I don't put my foot on the bag. I put both feet in front of the bag, and then one of my feet goes to where the ball's thrown to. That gives me better, like Choi does. He's not very stationary. That comes with experience.
Mm-hmm.
The hitting thing and Choi has a lot of his success off of one guy. That's one of the best pitchers in baseball.
Right.
Why that is, who knows?
You know, Vladdy needs to find his Garrett Cole is what you're saying. He needs to find his Jimmy Johns.
I think he'll find.
Sorry, that was too easy.
That was
too easy.
I hope we somewhat answered that question.
No, because it is. People always ask me, you know, look, Babe Ruth was fat.
Yeah, Babe Ruth used like a 12-pound bat too. You couldn't do that in 2020. Like these are different errors here. Like it's potato potato kind of thing here. So listen, let's let Vladdy come back next year. Let's let him play a half of a season.
I was the guy that went.
We'll have a conversation about how he looks at first and what he's doing offensively and yada, yada, yada.
I was the guy that went in Blue Jay Central and said, if we're going to talk about Vladdy's weight, then we ought to give him credit for the fact that he lost 12 or 15 pounds, whatever it was, 20 pounds as the season went on.
Yeah, you could tell he was.
And I said, we got to give him credit. It's unfair to the kid to talk about his weight, and then at least not acknowledge that he lost weight in season.
Yeah, but you have to, he has to take some ownership of that and say, I'm a big leaguer. I want to be a really good big leaguer. I have to do what it takes to be that. We're going to find out if it works, because you can tell he's listening to people.
Do you think that's a done deal? Third, first?
Why? You want to keep him on the field, right?
I mean, I'd rather have him at first, but...
I pick one.
Yeah.
Like, is he a super utility guy now? You're going to see him in the outfield? I want him to hit. Is he going to be a better hitter playing third or better hitter playing first?
Alex and Callan, have teams become so data and info game planning driven that it's taking the fun out of the game? Why even have a manager, since it seems more and more they have no role in the outcome of a game? That's from Alex and Callan.
That's a great question, Alex. That's a great question.
You have always told me you think.
I've had how many managers? I've played 16 full seasons. Yeah. That was winter ball. Who knows how many managers I've had?
But you said some of them haven't really had an impact.
Not whatsoever. Some of them I didn't even know they're on the team, which I guess wasn't a bad thing. But
it means they're not talking to you to tell you they're I'm in the lineup. That's good. That's all I need.
You don't even have to go look at the lineup. But it's, I'm not in a dugout. I have no idea. I'm not behind closed doors. But you would sure think some of the things that the lineups that we've seen and, the front offices have a huge impact on what the product on the field looks like.
The game in general has undergone a change, and the change has taken the emotion out of all aspects of the game. Now, I remember a conversation with Donald Fear a couple of years ago, and we were looking back at the Major League Baseball player strike. One of the things you notice is baseball owners right now, you don't have the George Steinbrenner still. You've got the odd Jerry Reinsdorf, but you don't have the guy who's going to react emotionally to something. That's why you don't see a lot of managers fired. You're not going to have an owner who's going to wake up in the morning and go, screw this, I need to fire this guy. There's very little emotion in front offices now when it comes to things like that. And I think we're seeing, in terms of managing the game on the field, we are seeing teams make a sincere attempt to take emotion out of the equation. That's what analytics in part are designed to do, is to give you evidence, fact-based evidence removed from emotion to make a decision. And it's just, you can't put the genie back in the bottle. You're not going to dumb down baseball anymore. Yeah. It's not going to happen.
On the flip side of that, how much of an impact do you think Dusty Baker had on the Astros? That's the flip side of it. The communication factor, the father figure, Jose Altuve, the hugs.
But can I tell you this though? They weren't very good in the regular season.
Well, injuries and Alex Bregman wasn't any good, and for whatever reason. Yeah, I mean, obviously, obvious reasons helped them get where they were at. No fans was a big deal. But I'm just saying, like, the throwing issues that Altuve had.
Yeah.
And Dusty, at the top step waiting to get – listen, I played for Dusty.
Yeah.
Communication's a big deal for a manager.
The soccer folks have a term for it, man management, where you manage the guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's still part of the game. I'm sure Kevin Cash is very good at that. It's just that who is his Jose Altuve like? Who is the star in that team that he has to put his arm around? And I think maybe you still need that when you're dealing with a team. Dusty's got a team that's won World Series. Dusty's got a team that's got a bit of an attitude right now too.
Mm-hmm.
Look, it's like anything else. There will at some point be a balance, but analytics are here to stay because they cut down the margin for error.
I think organizations have to have good salesmen. And whenever that front office sends that information down and that player goes, what, are you kidding me? That manager has to be a really good salesman and say, this is what they say is going to work. It's worked over here. It'll work here. Go out and do it. He's got to be a good salesman.
Bruce from Sable Beach wants to know if the Rays winning the World Series will be bad for baseball overall. And I think we're going to go beyond the Rays are a boring team thing here. You talked about, you asked me, the Rays win on this payroll. How many owners are going to be calling their GMs and going, let's see, they got what? They're paying what to get that ring? And I've got $45 million invested in a piece of poo center fielder?
Yeah, like the Rays, mid-20s millions they're paying this year. Here's the Dodgers, thing. A little over 100.
Won't make a difference. Florida Marlins won the World Series with the lowest payroll in baseball, beat the Yankees at Yankee Stadium. Won't make a difference. It won't make a difference.
I hope you're right, for this player's sake.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This is the way the Rays do business. And the Rays, God love them, they're about a year away from having to make some tough decisions on some players, too. Like, Randy Arozarena is not going to be making major league minimum for the next 7 years.
Well, they
years.
Win the World Series. They'll have their window. Yeah. They'll be all right.
But you get my point. The Rays winning the World Series isn't going to mean that people aren't going to spend money.
I hope you're right. With that and COVID, the issues, I hope you're right. I hope players don't have to worry about that, too.
Yeah, no, I think the Rays winning will probably only increase the use of analytics, but I don't think that necessarily is going to translate to buying players in the cheap. Mookie Betts is still going to get paid. Trevor Bauer is going to get paid this year.
How come Kevin Barker didn't get paid?
Kevin Barker didn't get paid. Don't blame me. Don't blame me.
Hit the heater more.
J.P. Ricciardi on the line. Get J.P. Ricciardi on the line.
Yeah, let's do it.
We will be back tomorrow. Don't forget World Series tonight. And don't forget Writer's Block is next.